In a world where podcast networks fill every corner of the internet, one stands above the rest, and you're listening to it. This is the BS Podcast Network.
Who are you talking to right now? Who is it you think you see? Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Do you know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. Disappears. It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Wow, that is really hard. You really think you can go all day long? Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
Third down two, 13 seconds to go. Here's the snap, fumbled by Romo. Picks it up, has a shot in the end zone. It's caught! Jason Witten, it's caught!
Hands it to Calderon. Here we go as he slaps it. He looks. He can't get it to Ellis. Got it to Carter in the corner. He has! And the Mavericks win the game! A three-pointer in the corner for Vince Carter! And it's a ball scene in the corner! And the Mavericks have taken a 2-1 lead in the best-of-seven series in the most spectacular of matches! Vince Carter nearly falling out of bounds! It's a three-pointer to give the Mavericks a 109-108
something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Let me tell you what's gonna happen. I'm going to roll my window up, then I'm going to drive away, and you're going to go home to your daughter, and every few years you're going to look at her face and know that you're alive because you chose not to go down a certain road on a certain night, that you chose to walk into the light instead of into the darkness.
Are back. Thank y'all for listening to the Knights of the Round Kids Table. It's just me this week, but that's okay. It'll just be a mini episode. I'll talk some football today, and what went on this past Sunday, I do want to say that I apologize for not being able to record for the past 4 weeks and just been really, really busy in my life. But I finally have some time this week, and next week I'm completely off from school, and so I'll be able to record next week. Let's go ahead and start off by talking about the what went on Sunday. I'll start off with the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans. Green Bay just absolutely got killed. Marcus Mariota he outplayed Aaron Rodgers. He was 19 of 26 for 295 and 4 touchdowns. I mean, Green Bay just does not have a running game at all. I don't understand why they can't at least find a running back on the street. I mean, somebody. I don't understand. I mean, they have a decent offensive line. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And you see that when Aaron Rodgers throws the ball 51 times. That's just too much. He throws 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. DeMarco Murray also had a really good game. He had 123 rushing yards and a long 75-yard touchdown. And he had a passing touchdown, too, to Delanie Walker, their tight end, who also had a really good game, 9 receptions for 124 yards and a touchdown. So, yeah, let's move on from that game. Baltimore and Cleveland, there's really not much to talk about there. I know that Kessler got yanked for Josh McCown, but McCown probably did even worse. He was pretty terrible. And I'm starting to wonder if Cleveland is going to get a win this year. They might be the second 0-16 team in the league. Yeah, they just get killed 28-7. Not much else to say about that one. Then on to Denver and New Orleans. That was a really, really crazy game. I think Drew Brees had 2 interceptions. The safety, what's his name? Darian Stewart had an incredible game. He had 2 interceptions and I believe a fumble recovery. Just fantastic. Other than that, Drew Brees had a pretty good game, 21 of 29 with 303 yards, 3 touchdowns. Trevor Siemian was, he was okay. He's just an average quarterback. Isn't terrible, isn't great either. But that was a really exciting game. New Orleans was down 6 points. They tie it up, and their kicker is ready to kick the extra point. It gets blocked. And Justin Simmons returns the PAT for 2 points, and then Denver wins the game 25-23. That's just crazy. I've never seen that happen before. Next game is the Chicago Bears and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tampa Bay absolutely shellacked the Chicago Bears 36-10. Jameis Winston was much better this week, 23 of 33 with 312 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Not much else really. Probably the one bright spot for Chicago was Howard, their running back. Had another decent game, 100 yards on 15 carries. Not much to talk about in that game. Next is the Chiefs and Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, they were up 17-3 after the first half, but they had just multiple turnovers. Cam Newton had a really bad interception and brought Kansas City back into the game until finally in the last second. Kansas City Chiefs hit a field goal to win the game, 20-17. And yeah, another rough week for Carolina. Next is the Atlanta Falcons and Philadelphia Eagles. The Falcons lost this one, 24-15. Carson Wentz kind of got his wheels back on this week, played much better. And Ryan Matthews, the running back, played well. He had 19 carries for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. And once again, the Eagles defense played really, really well. They seemed to play well against like really good teams, and then, well, except for the Cowboys. Every other like really good team they seem to play well against, at home at least. And so yeah, they won that one. Next game, Los Angeles Rams and New York Jets. Not a very good game. Rams won 9-6. It's like a flipping baseball game, but this was the first start for Bryce Petty of Baylor for the New York Jets. He did okay. Matt Forte had a pretty good game for the Jets, running back, but needed touchdowns, not field goals. And Kenny Britt was probably the star of the game. He had 7 receptions for 109 yards. And now it looks like Jared Goff is going to get his first start finally next week, and because the offense is just not doing good enough, even though they won, but they won because of their defense. Next game, Houston Texans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Houston won again, despite Osweiler having a very meh game. Yeah, he was 14-27, 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, not terrible, but nothing special. Yeah, not much else to talk about with that game. San Francisco at Arizona. This game was way too close than it needed to be. Like in the last minute, Kaepernick tied up the game, and then Arizona gets the ball back, and their kicker, what's his name, Catanzaro, who had missed game-winning field goals like several times this year, he hit it this time, and they took care of business, and they're 4-4, and they're in the NFC West race, back in it. Well, no, they're 4-4-1. They had that tie against Seattle. Speaking of Seattle, the Sunday night game was a really, really good game. Russell Wilson was the star of the game. He was 25-37. 348 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was just phenomenal. Tom Brady was decent. He didn't have a touchdown, but had pretty bad interception, really. LeGarrette Blount had 3 touchdowns. And Martellus Bennett had 102 yards, and Edelman had 99 yards. And but they had a chance to tie the game up. They're at the, I believe, the 2-yard line, and they just got stuffed a couple times, and then Brady tried to sneak it and fumble the ball back, and that was it. Seattle wins. And they're 6-2-1 in first place in the West, and now they're the second best team in the NFC. And so, and then Monday night was the New York Giants versus Cincinnati Bengals. Giants won 21-20. Bengals were up 20-13, but they 20-14. Sorry. Then the Giants scored a touchdown on fourth down with a few minutes to go, and Andy Dalton threw a bad interception, and then they just couldn't get it. Just couldn't get the field goal. And the Giants defense tightened up and didn't let them get in the field goal position. And then the best game of the week, or best game of the year, really, was the Cowboys in Pittsburgh. Dak Prescott played very, very well. He was 22 of 32. 319 yards and 2 touchdowns. His first 300-yard game. And Ben Roethlisberger was 37 of 46. Had 408 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, with that line, you should win the game. But Pittsburgh defense is just not good this year. And they played a very good offensive team. Dez Bryant had a 100-yard game. But the star of the game was Ezekiel Elliott. He had 114 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, and then had 2 receptions for 95 yards and a touchdown, which 83 of those yards came on one reception. He was just phenomenal. The offensive line was the other star of the game too, because those 2 rushing touchdowns, Elliott just wasn't touched, but Elliott did a good job of just hitting that hole really hard and just running away from him. And it was a back and forth game in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh went for 2, like 3 times, just way too much, and that was kind of one of the differences in the game. Pittsburgh had the ball. They were, I believe, down 5 points, and Roethlisberger just went boom, 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 75 yards. Had the fake spike and threw a perfect ball to Antonio Brown, and they're up 2 points. And then there's 42 seconds left, and the Cowboys go back down, and they get a penalty for 15 yards, face mask, and they're down to the 32-yard line, which, you know, they're like, well, we can just run the ball, and then we'll have Dan Bailey kick the field goal. Well, they run it, and that's when Elliott gets untouched for the 32-yard touchdown. Just a phenomenal game. But anyway, that's all of the NFL talk. Next, something else. Everybody that knows me knows how big of a fan of Tony Romo I am. He's such a good person, a great player, always plays hard every week, loves his teammates, loves others, treats everybody with respect. Um, but still seems to get criticism all the time. Because everybody's forgotten how really good he was ever since Dak Prescott came in. Don't get me wrong, Prescott's been fantastic, but just don't forget how great Romo really was. He had some really good years with some very average teams, and took them to 8-8 when they probably would have been 2-14 without him. But yesterday he spoke to the press and read a statement and said that he's okay with backing off and letting Dak Prescott be the quarterback of this team, and that Dak has earned the right to be the quarterback of this team. And he certainly has, because he's played very well. They've been very lucky to have Dak Prescott. And so I'm just going to leave you with Romo's speech. And thank you all for listening. And God bless you all. Love you all. Goodbye.
Here we go. To say the first half of the season has been emotional would be a huge understatement. Getting hurt when you feel like you have the best team you've ever had was a soul-crushing moment for me. Then to learn it's not 3 or 4 weeks, but 10 is another blow. And through it all, you have a tremendous amount of guilt on having let your teammates, fans, and organization down. After all, they were depending on you to bring them a championship. That's what quarterbacks are supposed to do. That's how we're judged. I loved that. I still do. But then here you are, sidelined, without any real ability to help your teammates win on the field. That's when you're forced to come face to face with what's happening. Seasons are fleeting, games become more precious, chances for success diminish. Your potential successor has arrived, injured 2 years in a row, and now in the mid-30s. The press is whispering, everyone has doubts, you've spent your career working to get here. Now we have to start all over. You almost feel like an outsider. The coaches are sympathetic, but they still have to coach, and you're not there. It's a dark place. Probably the darkest it's ever been. You're sad and down and out, and you ask yourself, why did this have to happen? It's in this moment that you find out who you really are and what you're really about. You see, football is a meritocracy. You aren't handed anything. You earn everything, every single day, over and over again. You have to prove it. That's the way that the NFL, that's the way that football works. A great example of this is Dak Prescott and what he's done. He's earned the right to be our quarterback. As hard as that is for me to say, he's earned that right. He's guided our team to an 8-1 record, and that's hard to do. If you think for a second that I don't want to be out there, then you've probably never felt the pure ecstasy of competing and winning. That hasn't left me. In fact, it may burn more now than ever. It's not always easy to watch. I think anybody who's been in this position understands that. What is clear is that I was that kid once. Stepping in, having to prove yourself. I remember the feeling like it was yesterday. It really is an incredible time in your life. And if I remember one thing from back then, it's the people that helped me along when I was young. And if I can be that to Dak, you know, I've tried to be, and I will be going forward. I think you all know something magical is happening to our team. I'm not going to allow this situation to negatively affect Dak or this football team by becoming a constant distraction. I think Dak knows that I have his back, and I think I know that he has mine. Ultimately, it's about the team. It's what we've preached our entire lives. I can remember when I was a kid just starting out and wanting to be a part of something bigger than myself. For every high school kid out there or college player, there's greatness in being the kind of teammate who truly wants to be part of a team. Everyone wants to be the reason they're winning or losing. Every single one of us wants to be that person. but there are special moments that come from a shared commitment to play your role while doing it together. That's what you'll remember. Not your stats or your prestige, but the relationships and the achievement that you created through group. It's hard to do, but there's great joy in that. And all the while, your desire burns to be the best you've ever been. You can be both. I figured that out in this process. It's what separates sports from everything else. It's why we love it. It's why we trust it. It's why I still want to play and compete. Lastly, I just want to leave you with something I've learned in this process as well. You know, I feel like we all have two battles or two enemies going on. One with the man across from you. The second is with the man inside of you. I think once you control the one inside of you, the one across from you really doesn't matter. And I think that's what we're all trying to do. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.